Thank the Lord tonight for salvation. Heaven. That's a word we've heard a lot in our life, haven't we? None of us ever been there. All of us want to go. I think tonight we probably heard it so much or said it so much, sang about it so much, that I hope that hasn't distanced us from the fact that there really is a heaven. It really is a beautiful place that God dwells within, the realm of the divine, and He's allowed us and given us an opportunity to go there someday. And we sure want to live right here, don't we? And in such a way that He'll receive us here. And then the songwriter said, when we get there, whatever we may have had to pay, lay aside here, it'll be worth it all. And we probably won't even have time to remember what little bit we gave up here. Thank the Lord tonight for salvation. There's a song in our book, number 187, in the first verse, "My beloved is so fair, how his breath perfumes the air." Don't you admire or appreciate, and aren't you thankful for poetry? Now, there's some poetry, folks, that I could read it and read it and read it, and I miss it. But some I can understand and get a hold of. Some like I could understand this. His breath perfumes the air. Oh, the heaven of His smiles my soul doth see. Oh, the wonders of His grace. And we spoke some this morning about grace, the grace of God, the favor of God, the divine influence of God to man. And the songwriter here spoke about the wonders of that grace, the marvelous wonders, the miraculous mysteries of His grace, to unveil the holy place, to invite me to the banquet of the free. I marvel at all God has done and does do, and how He enjoys our company. I know He enjoys our company for a number of reasons, but one I can remember, the Bible teaches us about Him going and visiting with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. And the way it reads to me, it was kind of a common occurrence, a regular occurrence, maybe even every day. I'm not sure of that. But I know this, God enjoys the company of His creation. And He enjoys the company of His saints. And I thank the Lord tonight for the invitation to the banquet of the free. My little thought tonight is something like the Lord's given me before, but it is about God inviting us. God wanting our presence with Him. God telling us this is something that's important to Him. So He invites us to the things that He has to share. He invites us to His heavenly home. He invites us to His Spirit. He invites us to the cross. He invites us to His salvation. He invites us to His grace. He invites us to His wedding. The Lord truly wants to be with us. He wants to be around us. And He wants us to have a company with Him. And thank the Lord for that tonight, that God has invited us in so many things. Over in John, the 14th chapter, in the 3rd verse, if I may, I want to use just part of that. And Jesus said that where I am, there you may be also. Have you ever thought about what a privilege it is that God would want us, Christ would want us where He is? Again, speaking of grace this morning, that's a tremendous favor that God has bestowed upon us. To want you and me in the realms of heaven. or in the realms of the kingdom of God. That God wants us accompanying Him and for Him to accompany us. I read a scripture like this and I think about how marvelous God is to invite us to all of His riches, to invite us to all of His glory, to invite us to everything He is and say, I want to share this with you. In fact, I want to give it to you and I want it to be yours. You know, the Lord is so gracious. We give things by measure. Most of us give things by measure. And that's not wrong in and of itself. We have to judge what we need. We have to judge what's coming up over the next rise. We have to recognize that we have to have certain things ourselves. So we give with a certain degree of measure. And I think about that. If I had a rich man, a terribly rich man, a rich man that $1 million is a small percentage. You know, man, he can give so much more without realizing any emptiness in his own pocketbook. If you had a pocket full of $500 bills to where it was just bulging, and inside that wad or billfold of money was $1, and for whatever reason you gave or lost that $1 bill, it really wouldn't seem like necessarily a great sacrifice. Well, I don't want to take away from the sacrifice of God, but He has offered to us the riches of His kingdom, and no way can you and me deplete the riches of that kingdom. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And He has told us to go out and preach the word and make disciples and go out and reach out to all of mankind and invite them into the same kingdom that we are sharing with God. And as we do, it does not in any way deplete our portion. If anything, it increases our portion. God's grace and God's invitations, they're without measure, really. They have no limit. They have no saying a place of cutting off. But He giveth more grace and He gives more help every time we need it. So He has invited us and He said that where I am, there you may be also. I am thrilled. I am humbled. And I trust you are too to think that the Lord wants to be with you and He wants to be with you forever. Now that's another wonderful thought. Maybe, just maybe, you know or have met someone that you can appreciate them, you can love them, and you could like them. But would you want to be with them forever? Maybe we know or have met a situation like that. But the Lord wants us to be with Him forever. I thank the Lord tonight for this wonderful invitation He's given us. He's invited us in Romans 8:17 to be joint heirs with His Son. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. To think of all the things that God has. In one place He said, eye hath seen, neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him, but He has revealed them to us by His Spirit. And it goes on to say that the Spirit searches the deep thing, all things, or yea, the deep things of God. This night, God wants to invite you, and He is inviting each one of us to be an heir with His Son, Jesus Christ. An heir of all things. An heir of His grace, of His love, of His nature, of His Spirit, an heir of His kingdom, an heir of His grace. So thank the Lord tonight for the times God has invited us. And He continually invites us every day. He's made it possible for us to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Don't you love a peaceful habitation? Don't you enjoy the blessed quietness? Even when a family dwells together in laughter, When a family dwells together around a dinner table and it's past the potatoes and past this and past that, and the child maybe has, or some of us adults sometimes, has tipped over the glass of water or the glass of milk, that's still a very peaceful and a very precious time, because it's the family. It's the ones we love. It's the ones we care about. It's the ones that are precious to us. And I know every one of us look on those times, even though they may seem a little chaotic to the person standing by, it's a very precious time. God wants to sit together with us in heavenly places in His Son. He wants you and me to be able to be comfortable in His presence, us, Him, to be comfortable in ours, and be able to share the day, share our life, share the activities, share the interest of the kingdom of God, share interest in all the things that God hath bestowed upon us. He has invited us to sit with Him. So I think about these things, and I wonder about myself, and I wonder and I ask myself, how close do I come to believing? Do I believe? And do I accept the invitation? As we think tonight about some various invitations, and we'll try not to go in depth on every one of them, and we won't name, obviously, all the invitations. Did you know an invitation has two parts? It also has a response. The response to be with Him, to dine with Him, to sit with Him. Did you know someone can invite us to a very wonderful thing, but it's still up to us to go? And people have all kind of reasons sometimes for not going somewhere. It may be that they just don't want to come in out of the yard from doing yard work, take a shower, clean up, and shave, and brush your teeth, and head out again. Could be they're maybe lazy. Could be they're just tired. Could be there's other activities. But I want to say to us tonight, as we think about God inviting us, and He's invited us to wealth, spiritual wealth. He's invited us for all things that pertain to life and godliness. But it's up to you and me also to respond to that and say, yes. I believe one songwriter said, "I'll say the great word." That song has always puzzled me, I got to confess. Best I can figure out the word, yes, I'll do it, Lord, or I'll go. But I'll say the great, I'll respond in a positive fashion. I'll respond, yes. I'll take the cup, Lord. You've invited me to drink the cup with You. Well, yes, I'll take the cup, because You promised me that if I would suffer with You, and You've invited me to suffer with You, You've also promised me, and You invited me to reign with You. So now the Lord is asking His disciples. He invited them to take the cup. Another place He said, "Can you drink the cup?" And they said, "Oh yes, we can drink it." And He said, "Indeed, you will drink the cup." And I'm sure they didn't understand all of that, but they did. But now they're reigning with Him. They reigned in life with Him, and they're reigning in paradise with Him tonight. So the thought of an invitation is only really complete when we say yes. And we accept the invitation. He said in another place, in 2 Corinthians 6, chapter 17, 18, He said, if we'd come out of those things that are not like Him, if we would come out of the wrong and the evil and the human way of doing things and the human way of thinking, if we'd be willing to forsake our sin, if we'd be willing to forsake the confusion that's in Babylon, if we'd be able to and would be willing to renounce the hidden things of darkness and come out of them and be separate unto Him, He said He would receive us and be a father to us, and we'd be His sons, we'd be His daughters. You see, the Lord wants to invite us, and He has, to so many precious and wonderful things. Turn with me over into Revelations a moment. Consider a scripture we know well here. Third chapter of Revelations and the 7th verse and the 8th verse. Revelations 3 and 7. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy. Now, stop here a moment. When God invites us, let's understand something. God's holy. By virtue of that holiness and who he is, he also says he cannot lie. He doesn't just pretend to want us. He means it. He does not just pretend to invite us, hoping we'll say no. He wants us to accept the invitation. So when God invites us, it's coming from one who cannot lie, who cannot in any way be less than who he is, and that's holy. And he said this, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man can shut it, and shutteth, and no man can open. I know thy works, and behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. The Lord has set before us an open door. Now that, folks, ought to thrill us, to realize that everything God is open before us. He has conducted himself in such a way, he has nothing to hide, and he has everything to share. He has no malice, and no anger, and no evil intentions. God can open the kingdom of heaven to the redeemed and give us free reign, and give us liberty in the kingdom. There's no things in the kingdom that are impure. There's no agendas meant for selfish reasoning whatsoever. And God has set before you and me an open door. He has opened up his life. He has opened up his very kingdom for every one of us. When he hung on the cross, and when you think about the scripture in the 11th chapter of Matthew that says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And far as we understand, generally the historians believe that the cross was such that Jesus' arms were outstretched. And I think that's so indicative of what the Lord wants to do. He is that door. And God has set that door before us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And to this door the porter opens. And we can go in and out and find pasture. All things that pertain to life and to godliness. We can enter in through the door of Jesus Christ. He has set him before us. And he said earlier in the first scripture we read that no man can shut that door. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know if I really want to go in, no one can keep me out? I'm a prayer away. I am just a man or a woman is just a prayer away from entering in, humbling themselves, and they can go in that door, and they could tie us, they could bind us, and they could put men at the stake, and they have. But no way can they keep a man from entering in at that door. The thief, he was on the cross just like Christ was. He was bound there. Maybe he was nailed also. And he was in no way going to get down off of that cross. He was as bound as a man could be. He was hurting. Maybe he had been whipped. We don't know all that had happened to him. And he was a man that was consigned to death, and he was going to die, save God intervened for him. He was bound right there. But did you know that man entered in at the door? The same promise here. The Roman legions, the Jewish armies, none of those things could keep that thief from hanging on the cross when he said, Lord, remember me. He went right in at the door, and no Roman rope or Roman cross could keep him out of the kingdom of heaven. Isn't it wonderful to know there's a door set before us? And folks, if we don't go in, let's be real careful we don't try to blame it on someone else. Because I want to tell you something. You can't fix anyone else. And if I go around, should I go around? If a person, maybe it's better to say it that way. If a person goes around blaming the reason they're not in the kingdom because of someone else or some other obstacle, may I say they'll probably never fix that? Because the problem is not the other people or the person. And if it were, have you ever tried to fix somebody? Now, folks, if you got a monopoly on fixing people, you let me know. You know, I'd like to know it too. You just don't really go around changing people. So if me getting into the kingdom of heaven is everybody else getting right, then I can go in. I'll probably never make it. I would never have made it. But you know what? If you and me, if a man comes to the place that's saying the reason I'm not going in at that door, it's because I don't want to. Or it's because I don't want to pay the price. It's because of me and my attitude or my actions or my deeds or my thinking. That's why, now that can be fixed. You see? I can't fix someone else. I can't go and repair someone else's mind. I can't go and get a hold of them and shake them and twist their ears and their head enough to get them thinking the way they ought to think. I can't do that. But I can work on me and you can work on you. Praise God for that. Now, set before us, and if we'll humble ourselves, absolutely nothing can keep us from accepting the invitation. We can go in at that door. We can go in and we can find good pasture. Well, I want to ask you a question. How much is it going to cost? I was in a store here, been a couple of 3 months ago now, and they had one of these deals. You know, stores have deals, and they want you to buy the deals. And this deal was that they wanted to give you 2 nights and 3 days in Branson, Missouri it's a big lake, it's a lake over there anyway, on this lake. And they talked it very nicely and had pretty pictures. It was a legitimate thing. I finally had to come down, I said, and they were going to tell me what they was going to give me. I said, you going to give me that yet? I said, well now, how much is this going to cost? Well, by the way, I bought it. It was pretty cheap. Hadn't been yet though. But they did give me a gift card and a bunch of other things. But the point I'm making is this. It's legitimate to ask how much is it going to cost me. It's legitimate to ask someone if you're going to be in their wedding, what kind of material is it going to have for the dresses, and how much is it going to cost to get the dress made? Because they may be planning something that you can't afford. So it's legitimate, see, to say how much is it going to cost. So we think about this invitation and these myriads of invitations the Lord has invited us to. We'll name a few more later. Over in Isaiah, the 55th chapter. And he included me in this one. 55 of Isaiah, first 2 verses. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Eat yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. This is the good news, folks. He's invited me and he paid the price. I could not pay for grace. I could not pay enough for wisdom. Said if you lack it, ask of God and he giveth liberally and he upbraideth not. I couldn't pay enough for God to say, well, you've paid enough, now I'm going to give you your wisdom, or my wisdom, rather. The Lord gave us the kingdom of God. Do we know and remember the song, Jesus paid it all? He paid absolutely everything so we could have acceptance and we could accept the invitation. And I praise his name for that. He said, come without price. Don't worry about the admission price as far as this invitation goes. I know there's another way we could teach, and we do teach that, yes, there's a price, we count the cost, but I'm talking about this invitation, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. He paid it all. The banquet is free tonight. He said, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Too many times, people try to find fulfillment, satisfaction, different things we could say here, and they spend money for it. Spend good money for it. Or they waste their youth for it. Or they waste their time for it. Or they worry for it. Or they fear for it. That's the cost they're having to pay. That I worry that I'll keep it, that I'll get it. To be satisfied, they have to pay the price of vengeance. And it never satisfies, so they continually pay. Anger, unforgiveness. I feel better when I'm holding a grudge. Folks, you'll forever pay and you'll never receive the blessings that you look for. But the Lord invited us to come without price. He said, I've paid it all and I give it to you. And I thank the Lord tonight for this great and these great invitations that we have offered to us. The Bible teaches us part of this free invitation is the knowledge that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us can boast in our own righteousness. None of us can boast in what we've done for ourselves and how we lifted ourselves up by the bootstraps. We're saved, we heard this morning, by grace, and that's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved because God wanted us saved. And He invited us and paid the price for our salvation. Over in 2 Corinthians 5, 19 and 20, He invites us to be reconciled to God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? When you consider that people have been estranged for the millenniums of time, men have been estranged from God for every manner and every rhyme and every reason, and there was no way to redo that. There was no way to be reconciled. The blood of bulls and of goats and animals were not sufficient to truly reconcile God to man. There was still that gulf. There was still that breach between God and man that had Christ never have come, I don't believe Abraham and Moses would have had a chance, because they were looking ahead to that brighter day. They were looking ahead to that would come. And all the law, all the sacrifices, and all those things typified He that would come, the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. Absolutely, the only way for sin to be abolished is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So all the sacrifices of men could not reconcile God to man. But Paul wrote, be ye reconciled to God. Isn't that a wonderful invitation? Tonight I hope none of us are estranged from God. I hope none of us are separated from God. You know, there's nothing any sadder in life than to find someone separated from their family, separated from their loved ones, not just distance, but I mean by wrong, by anger, by arguments, by old bad habits, or by old harsh attitudes and stiff-neckedness and pride. To me, that is one of the most sad things there is, to know that God created an atmosphere in the home that was to be of love and support and fulfillment and joy, and someone through their hard-headedness and their rebellion goes out and breaches that and walks away from that family unit, and they go out and live probably an unhappy life and never reconciled. That to me is a sad estate. To know all that God has put in the unit of the family, and yet there are people who will just walk away from that. They hurt my feelings. I'm not going back, you know, and get all puffed up like a toad frog or something. Never come back. when all the time, just to humility, I'm sorry. I want to come home. I want to be back. I miss all the talk around the dinner table. I miss hearing Dad's stories. I miss Mom's apple pie. I miss that hug. I miss that love. God wants us to be reconciled. And He's given us not only the right and the invitation, but He's told us, He's committed that same message to us. The message of reconciliation. Isn't that wonderful? To know the one that we harmed says, come back. I want to be reconciled to you. I want you to be reconciled to me. We know the story of the what we call the prodigal son. And that father, probably over the longevity of that separation between father and son, I would say if you would categorize it in weeks or days or months or years, the father had a higher percentage of time of being unhappy and miserable than the son did. Because I want to tell you something. When that guy got his bankroll, maybe he got a half a dozen donkeys and two camels. You know, I don't know what he got. But he got some money to jingle in his pocket, left with a good suit of clothes, and he had, some fancy things on. And, oh, he was probably just kind of stepping from cloud to cloud, so to speak. He thought he probably had the world by the tail. And that dad wasn't happy at all. So from the get-go, Dad was sad. But from the get-go, the boy thought he had it all going his way. And he was going to get it all done. But there came a time when they both got sad. Tonight, if you're not reconciled with God, it's time to get sad. It's time to miss the kingdom. It's time to miss God. Time to miss the fellowship. So that dad, let's say he was gone 5 years. We know the story doesn't tell. But that dad was miserable in that sense for 5 years. And maybe the boy wasn't miserable, but for 3 years and 9 months, I don't know. May the Lord help us to know we have an invitation. We can be reconciled to God tonight. The Lord in Isaiah 35, 8 through 10, invited us to a different pathway, a pathway of holiness, a way where there's no unclean thing, and there's no ravenous beast. God has invited us because Jesus Christ, He said, I am the way. He's invited us to a highway that leads to heaven. Doesn't lead to hell. It doesn't lead to disappointment in this life. And He said on this highway that men would have songs of rejoicing. They'd have songs of everlasting joy. A band of happy pilgrims, I believe, the songwriter said. We're on our way to glory on the highway of the King. How did we get on the highway of the King? We was invited. We were asked. Who built the highway? It wasn't this construction company that built the interchange down here. It wasn't him. It was God who built the highway. It's highway of the King. And we've been invited to get on it. I remember the 60s when there were very few interstates. And once they'd get a little section of interstate open there in Louisiana, oh, I tell you, us country folks thought we had really found something. Well, you could go 40 miles without a red light or a stop sign, because they'd kind of open it up in little segments, you know. Oh, thank God for the highway of the King tonight. But you know, if you didn't have to stop for gas and maintenance, and saying there's no trouble on the highway, you could go right out here the intersection, and you could go all the way to Los Angeles without stopping. You ever thought about that? You could get on a four-lane road, and if everything was the way it was supposed to be, and you didn't have to have gasoline, you had a little nuclear device in there supplying you, you could go right to Los Angeles without stopping. Isn't that something? Folks, we can go right straight to heaven without stopping. We don't have to look back. We don't have to worry about a detour. We don't have to worry about road construction. We can go to heaven on the highway of the King. And He's invited us to be on that highway tonight. There was a place in John, I hope it's okay not to read all these, but I'll tell you where they are. In John 20 and 22, the Lord was there with His disciples, and He breathed on them. And He said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Isn't that a wonderful blessing? We're invited to be a partaker now, not of the human nature that defiled us, that got us in so much trouble, but of a divine nature. That's part of our invitation tonight, that we no longer have the nature of corruption living and reigning in us, that we can be freed from the bondage of the old man, that the old things of life can indeed pass away, and that we no longer have to be subject to this old man with his erroneous thinking. But He breathed on them, and in another place He told them to tarry till they receive the power of the Holy Ghost. And we know at the day of Pentecost, they received the Holy Ghost. We know the folks in Ephesus received the Holy Ghost. And we know right down here in our time, we receive the Holy Ghost. It's His pleasure, He said in another place, to give the kingdom. He said, "Don't be afraid that I'm going to renege on you." Now, I know He didn't say that away. Don't be afraid. It's the Father's good, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, He said, He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And Paul asked Ephesus, he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" May the Lord help us today to receive what God has for us, to take it into our life and to our heart. He wants to give these things to us, else He wouldn't have offered them. I really believe that. Can I be a little vulnerable here? There's a trait about humanity sometimes. We offer something out of politeness. We may. The "may" is a real big "may." We may not be genuine in it. We may do it out of courtesy only. God's not that way, folks. He's invited us to something. He wept over Jerusalem because they wouldn't receive it. And He said, "How oft I would have, I wanted to, I desired to, my tears are for you, and I am so sorry, I regret it so deeply." Those are the things He was saying there to them. And He said, "But you would not." God, Jesus, I believe that. Or why I believe it brings sorrow. I believe one reason is the Lord knows the consequences of you and me not receiving the invitation. And He doesn't want us to have to suffer the consequences. He doesn't want us to have to go through life ill-equipped. He doesn't want us to go through life subject to sin. He doesn't want us to go to hell. So therefore, in His great interest for us and divine love for us, He genuinely wants us to receive the offer that He extends to us, the invitation, on every point and in every way. I don't know where exactly sin enters, but God is merciful and God is kind, and I know that. And I believe that saved people can live below their birthright before they sin. But I believe this too, continually living before our birthright, will discourage us, and the world will start looking better, and the appeal of sin will have a greater hold on us. And if we don't correct that of living below where we ought to be, I believe it's a gateway into sin. In Matthew 23:3, he speaks about a wedding. May the Lord help us tonight to go to the wedding. I think about a wedding, and it's a family affair. It's for the bride and groom. And sometimes we go. We want to go. We want to see what, you know, we want to see it. We want to join in the festivities, the solemn ceremony. And sometimes we go because our wife says you got to go. You know, that happens sometimes too. But I'm thinking about the wedding that we've been invited to, of holiness and purity. It's not only are we just a visitor there, but we are a participant. Now, what would it be, kind of wedding would we have if the bride didn't show up? I guess the preacher would have to say, folks, something's happened unexpectedly, you're dismissed. But do you see this wedding that we've been invited to? We've been invited to be a direct participant in the wedding. Praise God for that. And He wants us to come in white, pure and chaste. And we have been invited to be the bride of Christ. Let's don't decline that invitation. Let's don't decline that at all tonight. He said in one place He would be a father, and in another place He said He'd be a husband. Over in John 12 and 21 and 12, the men had been out fishing. The Lord departed, and He went up on the shore and had some fish there. He built a fire and He began to cook. They came on in a little later, and He said, come and dine. Songwriter said, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed, and He invites His chosen few. Come and dine. Tonight, let's come and dine. Let's dine at the fare that God has provided for us supersedes any buffet in any restaurant in any place in the world. The most expensive of everything is there. It was all purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Everything in there's no junk food there. There's nothing in there that you've got to worry about the cholesterol. It's all holy, pure. It's food that will nourish, that will keep us, that will encourage us, that will prepare us to go to heaven. It is food that will keep us in the hardest trials of life. And He says, come and dine. He has prepared for you and me everything. Again, I go back to my statements a little earlier. It's up to us. It's up to you and to me whether we enjoy the benefits of that the invitation affords us. And we are rather peculiar people. People are. And sometimes, have you ever heard the saying, cut off your nose to spite your face? We can be rather strange in our actions sometimes. And I'm talking about people in general. Lord, help us not cut our nose off to spite our face. Have you ever seen someone that just out of obstinance and maybe hurt feelings, you're going to try to spoil the party for everybody else? And therefore they say, well, I'm not going to do it. And I know if I can't do it, y'all don't get to go either. Whatever. Or if I don't have a good time with my pouting, I'm going to make sure you don't have a good time either. Just kind of making their own self miserable, maybe some around them. Lord, help us today as people to divest ourselves of all those human excuses that keep us from accepting the invitation. He said, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man will open to me, I'll come in and I'll sup with him. The Lord's standing today at the door of our life. door of our heart to the saved and to the unsaved. And He's knocking. A lot of times in life, we get wedding invitations. Oh, just various things, invitations. And in generally large capital letters, it says RSVP. And basically, I found out this is French, so I won't try to pronounce it. But it is in essence saying, please reply. Did you know as the Lord stands at the door and knocks, He's saying to us, reply to me, respond to me, come to me, I'll give you rest. I've said it before, and I've noticed this. And the reason I think I know what I'm talking about is it's because of the responses I've seen. Here, a year or so ago, not much over a year ago, our road, it's a private road, and it needed new surface and new gravel put on it. So we wanted to have a little group of homeowners to meet out. So we invited them to our house for a hamburger cookout and a little business meeting afterwards to decide how we wanted to get gravel and pay for it and all. So in those classic, larger, black letters, I put RSVP. Well, see, I knew what it meant. And this is not the only time I've seen this. Before the little event took place, because we were going to furnish the hamburgers, so we didn't need to know how many to cook or have ready to cook. Before it was over with, Karen had to get on the phone and ask people where they're coming. Now, as it turned out, everybody came. But probably only half, or not much more than a third, RSVP'd. I've seen that happen many times. It's almost like people don't understand what RSVP means. God is standing at the door knocking with an invitation that's out of this world. With an invitation that is glorious, beautiful for situation. It is the most wonderful, precious, costly invitation man will ever receive. And He's asking us to RSVP. And some are just putting it off. Some are saying no. But some are saying yes, by all means, whatever it takes. At all cost. I suffer everything for loss that I may receive and accept this invitation. I will divest myself of everything that I may obtain the promised prize. So Lord, help us tonight to, first of all, let's thank God for inviting us. And us saints, we saints, let's thank God in the difficult times and the times that we get a little side glance from the devil or a blow. Let's thank God for the invitation to come to me now. Don't run off anywhere else. Come to me. Talk to me. Tell me about it. Let's thank God for the invitation tonight. And then, by all means, let you and me respond and say, thank you. Yes, Lord. I am so grateful you've invited me. Pray for me.